One of the greatest tests and trials that a believer might be afflicted with is your du'as not being accepted or not being answered. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would make du'a that his du'as not be amongst those wa da'watun la yustajab. We'd say, oh Allah, I seek your refuge from knowledge, ilmun la yinfa', and a heart, knowledge that is of no benefit, in a heart which is not fearful of you, and a soul that is not satisfied, and du'as that are not answered. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would actually make a du'a that his du'as be answered. There are a number of factors that have been mentioned in the ahadith that causes one's du'as not to be accepted, although some of these factors, we may be aware of it, but let us look at it in a broad sense. What are the points that cause du'as not to be accepted? Number one, haram sustenance. Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu narrates that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, O people, Allah is tayyib, and He only accepts that which is tayyib. Allah is pure, and He only accepts that which is pure. Allah has commanded the believers what He has commanded the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, alayhi salatu wasalam, Ya ayyuha ar-rusulu kulu min at-tayyibati wa'malu saliha. O messengers, eat from the pure foods and do what is right. And He said, O you believe, eat from the pure and good foods we have given you. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned a traveler on a long journey who is disheveled and dusty, and who stretches forth his hands to the skies and says, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, O my Rab, O my Rab, while his food is unlawful, his drink is unlawful, his clothing is unlawful, and he has been nourished with unlawful. فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ. How can his du'as be answered? So in this hadith, we are being informed about one of the greatest causes of du'as not being responded to. Let us just consider this example that the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given us. The man who combined in him many of the factors that a du'a, the person has traveled, not just a small journey, but rather a long journey, and he's away from his family for a long time, and the land that he's in is far away, then his appearance is such that it extracts sympathy for his condition, for he's disheveled and dusty, tired and dirty. Then added to that, he raises his hands to the skies, and the hadith says that when a person raises his hands, and Allah will not send a person, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيِّيٌّ, Allah is shy, that a person who raises his hands will never be returned empty-handed. So the fourth point is also that he makes a tawassul with one of Allah's most powerful and comprehensive names, and he says, Ya Rab, Ya Rab, the best name to use in dua. And fifthly, this person repeats his dua and the name of Allah so that it has a greater chance of acceptance. Yet despite all these facts, and regardless that he followed the necessary etiquettes of dua, the dua is not responded to. Not only that, you know, not only the fact that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us that the du'a is not accepted or responded to, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam actually stressed the point and said, how ridiculous is it that this person even expects his du'as to be accepted? فَأَنَّا يُسْتَجَابُ. How can his du'a being accepted? Implying that the sin of eating haram sustenance is so great that there is no point in him hoping to have his du'as accepted. So, it is essential that one who wishes to have one's du'as accepted ensures that you eat pure food from pure money, money that has been earned with permissible means, and that you eat pure food. Pure food is food that has been slaughtered in the halal manner. Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the famous companions of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he once asked, "Why is it that your du'as are responded to amongst all?" Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, "Usad, why is it that your du'as are responded to amongst all the other companions?" And he replied, "I do not raise to my mouth a morsel except that I know where it came from, where it came from, and where it came out of." This is a narration that has been recorded in one of the books of Hadith. And what it states, that where did this food come from and where it came out of? And only once I know exactly that, then only do I consume food. So the first point with regards to why our du'as are not accepted is because of consuming that which is prohibited. The second is with regards to sin. There is no doubt that a person's sins come between him and the response and the answering of his du'a. When a person makes du'a for a long period of time without receiving a response, then this should cause us to turn ourselves to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and examine our actions, because there's something that we are doing that is causing our du'as to be unanswered. There's a narration that says, the skies of the heavens are open in the middle of the night, and a crier calls out, "Is there any person making du'a that he be responded to? Is there anyone that asks that he be given? Is there anyone that is in straitened circumstances that it be lifted from him? Is there any Muslim that makes du'a at this time except that Allah will respond to him, except for a fornicatress that is striving to sell her private parts, or a illegal tax collector?" So this hadith speaks about that. It informs us that every single Muslim that makes du'a at the time, at certain times, will be responded to, except a prostitute that sells her body, and a tax collector who is taking other people's money unjustly. So these are two sins that cause du'as to be rejected. Once, Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, was asked, "Why do you not make du'a for such and such a matter?" And responded, "Leaving sins in and of itself a du'a." Just leaving the sins, that in itself is a way of du'a. What he was implying is that just as sins become a person, is between a person and his du'a, likewise leaving sins become the pathway to your du'as being responded to. When you sin, then that becomes a means of du'as being rejected. And on the other hand, leaving sins become a means of your du'as being accepted. Subhanallah. That is an important way towards getting our du'as accepted. The third point is abandoning advising others. It is part of one's iman that one loves for one's brother what one loves for oneself. And this necessitates wanting good for one's brother and averting evil from him. So when one sees one's brother doing something that is not allowed, it becomes obligatory on you to prevent him or her, even if you have to do this physically, if one is able to do so without harm or adverse consequences. So one has to advise, exhort others towards good. And this is a duty that has been put upon us as a ummah. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. You are the best of people ever raised for mankind. You enjoin what is good and forbid what is evil and believe in Allah. So this is the obligation, and leaving out the obligation brings about Allah's anger and punishment, and part of this punishment is that our du'as are not accepted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "I swear by him in whose hands my soul is, you should continue commanding what is good and forbid what is evil, or else or else it is very possible Allah will send upon you His punishment, so you will make dua to Him and He will not respond to it. You will make dua to Him and He will not respond to it. So this is one of the punishments of abandoning doing good and forbidding evil, is that when you make dua, your du'as will not be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these are some of the reasons why du'as are not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.